Hey, Outlandercast clan members. This episode is brought to you by Care Of. And for 50% off of your first Care Of order, that's right, 50, guys, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code Outlandercast50. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlandercast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Sing me a song, the last that is gone. Sing that last behind. Mary, a soul, she sailed on a day for the sea to sky. Hello, everybody, how's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And you know, I'm thinking about keeping the season four theme all the way till season five. I'm not going back to our normal theme.
What I think it's a great idea. I love the banjo and all this kind of Americana music.
The violin, the fiddle, the whole deal. I love me some bagpipes. But that fiddle with that like that twanginess to it. It's fantastic. I'm not going to lie.
Just does something special.
So what also was fantastic, by the way, is ranking top moments from Outlander.
You know, because there's just so much to love. But when you have rewatched things and you really get to digest and, you know, people who are like taste testers, how they smush things around in their palate with their tongue and they're able to ingest and describe what tantalizes their senses.
Tantalizes. Look at you.
Look at me with that word.
SAT word.
Hey. That's what this is for you. Hey. In Droughtlander, you get to find out what tantalizes your senses.
You know what tantalizes your senses?
What?
James Fraser.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So I figure I figure today we can rank our top favorite Jamie moments.
Yeah, of season four.
Oh
my gosh. At some point we need to do our top favorite Jamie moments.
Like of all I feel like that's at the end of the series. We're gonna have to
do I'm like already fanning myself. Him pitchforking that hay. Oh, that gif makes me hot.
Yes. Yes, it does. She is fanning herself, ladies
fanning
and gentlemen.
Myself.
She is fanning herself.
Okay. So this episode is all about the James Fraser love and of season four. And if you have moments that you love, we would love to hear about them. Wherever you see this post. So you can find us, of course, on all places on social media at Outlandercast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you see this. We want to know what your favorite James Fraser moments are. And also, we would love for you to check out all of the other podcasts that we do, including the show This Is Us Too about This Is Us and our newly announced Game of Thrones podcast called The North Remembers. You can find them both at maryandblake.com. Here we go. Starting things off.
So we're going to start with number five.
Okay.
And then what we're going to do, each time that we clear off the number, we're going to end it with this.
Oh, okay.
Sound fair?
Yeah, why don't you start off your number five?
All right. So, but in the document here, you're starting number five.
What ifs?
You're going to throw me all off.
Up.
You're going to throw me all
up.
Off. All right, number five. Number five for me, for Jamie in season four, is when he's speaking to her... and they're looking out over the plains and they see the mountains and whole thing. And they're talking about what the future of America will be like. And, you know, what's this world going to be like? Just the curiosity, that real innocent thing that Jamie has, and that Claire can lead him through is just such a special moment for that character. But more importantly, one of the things that I think he really excels at is, yes, having this innocence, but also seeing both sides and being fair about it, except for when it comes to Roger. Never fair about Roger. And I don't blame him. But there's this moment when he says, yeah, a person's, you know, person's dream could be another person's nightmare, and how he recognizes what happens to the American Indians and how they're persecuted, and Claire talks about it. And I just find that such a special moment for that character in this season, because he's opening up his world to the colonies, but also seeing it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really special. How about you? What's your number five?
Man, when Jamie gets to hang out with William and they go hunting, and granted, William doesn't listen. He goes the wrong way. But just those little extra moments, and us knowing, of course, Jamie's truth, that this is his son, and there's nothing he can necessarily do to say anything about it. But to have this special moment between the two of them. And then when Jamie actually does say, he is my son. Mm-hmm. And William doesn't necessarily believe him, of course, because he thinks he's just trying to save his life.
Right.
But just those moments between Jamie and Willie. And when Willie then looks behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Oh, I can't. So, you know, we've been able to talk so much about season four, about the importance of James Fraser's father relationship with Bree. But I think that it would be a huge disservice to not be able to talk about the moments that he had with his son.
Right.
So that is definitely number five for me.
All right, so one of the things that may end up happening here is that we may overlap. I think
we have overlapped. Blake and I talked about many of these points together.
Right, so we may overlap, and if something does overlap, we won't discuss it a whole ton. But if it, you know, we've tried to break it up as best as we can. So
I don't think we overlap. I think we were very careful.
I think we were careful too.
So just know that if I don't mention something, but Blake does,
more than likely,
vice versa, it's because we talked about
it. Right. All right. So my number four is actually from what I feel like is probably not the greatest episode of the season, is Do No Harm. It's when the world is kind of coming down on River Run, and Claire is doing her best to save the young slave boy, and she's done it, or she's doing it, and all of the people are starting to come at River Run, and the situation's getting bad, and it's getting bad quick.
Yeah.
And Jamie walks into the room, looks at her and says, Claire, it's time. It's midnight.
He's just so good.
He knows that Claire is doing the best that he can, that she can, and he knows he's doing the right thing by trying to save the kid. But he has bigger things to worry about. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the great thing about James Fraser. He can see both sides, and he acts for the most part on both sides, except for when it comes to Roger. He injects reality back into the situation. And I love that moment between the couple, because I feel like that's something that should happen between two married people when they're like, I know you're doing this, but we got to stop. And it's not like being mean. It's not being hurtful. It's coming from a place of love and worry and being like, it's time to go. We need to end this. And I loved that moment for Jamie. How about you? What do you got for your number four?
Meeting Bree. Granted, with pee hands.
Yeah.
But
this is a little bit of a cheat code.
No, what do you mean?
This is a little bit of a cheat code. This is like everybody's favorite moment from the season.
So what? Then it should definitely make it in here. And this is number four, might I add.
Okay. All right.
Meeting
fair enough.
Brianna. The emotions that Sam Heughan was able to portray in his face this season. I mean, we've been talking about the many emotions that he can portray and how well he's been doing as an actor. But my goodness gracious, meeting his daughter for the first time, realizing who she is.
Yeah, it was a special moment.
Gosh, I still just want to just turn into a big puddle. I mean, I personally can't even fathom that. It makes me think so often. You know, one of your employees, Blake, just got to meet her father.
Yes.
And it makes me think about people who, like she, haven't been able to meet their parents. And we have another great listener of ours who got to meet her biological father later on in life. And to have these moments when you really meet this person and those little clicks of like looking in their eyes and looking at their hair and seeing yourself in these aspects, I think that scene was so poignant, not only on screen, but then knowing people who in real life they had similar situations like this. Oh, just gives me all the goosies.
And it was just great because like there's this moment between the two. It's that moment of recognition. Like you said, like you can see yourself in the other person. And having it, having Jamie, like the emotional up and down of it all and like the unexpectedness of it, like him like, literally peeing. And then walking by and be like, lady, lady, I'm married, I'm all set.
Yeah.
And then
I don't want your pies.
Yeah, I don't want you. You're not a pie hussy. I'm all set. Having that moment and then turning around and being like, oh my God.
Hi.
You're Brianna. How? When? Why? Like that whole thing is fantastic. So, good. So that is your number
so
four?
Good. Yes.
All right. All right, number three. Number three for me is when they start to get the foundation down. Well, no, or just the
frame.
The frame started for the cabin. And Jamie is talking.
Ridge.
Yeah, for the ridge. And Jamie is talking to Claire and he's telling her where things are going and what we're going to do here and what we're going to do there. And they've just spent all this montage of building and getting all the wood prepared. And it's just this special Fraser moment, but like that you can share with the family as a whole. Mm-hmm. But the most important part of that entire sequence in my eyes is when Jamie picks Claire up and carries her through what will eventually be the front door.
God.
Of Fraser's Ridge, the cabin, because you know I wish I was strong enough to do that. Like I wish I had enough muscles to do that, and I don't.
Did you do that? No, you didn't even do that. Yeah, when we got married.
No, we didn't. You know it. Well, you know what it is. He had it easy because he's just carrying her over a couple of blocks. He's not like turning her into the.
Well, it's also Katrina Balfe, who's like weighs as much as
a freaking
our son,
a glass of wine. You know, like stop it. No, but like it's just a special moment, and I wish I could do that, and I wish I had done that, and. The funny thing is that even if I were physically capable of doing that, I feel like I probably would not have thought to do so. Not because I didn't want to, or not that I didn't think it's a romantic, I just probably wouldn't have thought about it. And it's a special moment between a married couple who are finally back in each other's arms and they can begin their lives together in earnest. There's never this moment of, oh my God, do I have to go back? There's Frank that's thinking about me. Frank is gone. Frank is dead. She is now back, and she's back in time for good. And now they can begin their life back in time for good. And that is a special moment for those two. What about you? What do you got for your number three?
My number three. Once again, pretty obvious. But we're talking about favorite James Fraser moments of season four. I'm talking about the tubby time. Not necessarily the groaning, but the fact of
Or the toe pointing.
That's Claire, man. I'm talking about Jamie because Jamie and Tubby Time, sign me up. Sign me up for some of that, okay? The drizzling her in her soap water, washing her, just taking care of his sweet wife who'd been so left in the cold, the poor thing. Just taking care of her and always, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but then also giving her the new ring.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about how, you know, obviously it was made from the candlestick holder from his mother, and he hopes that she'd be okay with this, that they had a new ring fashion, and Claire saying, you know, she'd be so proud of her son. Just all the feels, all the sensual feels, all the emotional feels. It was just such a beautiful, tender moment between this couple. And I know we didn't get too awfully many of them in this season. And of course, we all looked forward to it. It's a beautiful scene in the books and portrayed in the show. But just the emotionality, knowing what they've been through, and just the specialness and almost like the simplicity of just giving someone a tub and taking care of them.
Sure.
It was beautiful.
Especially after the events of the season premiere,
right? Exactly.
Where the ring has gone missing and he's replacing that ring with another ring that's made from his mother's candlesticks and the whole thing. Like, just really cool meaning and really cool symbolism imbued in that ring. Something that Jamie takes from his mother, someone who he misses and loves and cares for and wants to give everything and treat Claire the same exact way that he hoped his mother would be treated. I find that fantastic. So that's actually quite a good one. But before we continue, let's talk about our advertiser real quick. So you've heard us talk about Care Of quite a bit over this Droughtlander so far. And it's by design, because I really truly believe in Care Of. I think it is a fantastic way to get vitamins, to take care of yourself, and to get them easily to your door. I mean, right now, listen, hey, Game of Thrones is on and winter is here, but in reality, winter's over. It's springtime. Let's start your spring with Off Right. Let's get your health back in order. Get yourself a boost that you need, the energy, better sleep. Maybe you want to maintain your stress, or whatever you feel like you got to get to do to get yourself healthiest, right? Care Of takes care of you because they give you the vitamins and they make you take this really easy 5-minute online quiz. It's awesome. And it focuses and asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. And like I said, it only takes 5 minutes. And now it's new and improved, so that it can tell you if you're getting enough protein, enough fiber, all that other good stuff. I took, like I said, 5 minutes, loved it, it was easy, and I could focus on the things that I really care about. So, what you need to do is take care of yourself, get these vitamin packs, make your health easy and convenient. And they're even offering
half off.
You can always be assured that it's backed by the best sources and the honest and guidance and transparency that Care Of always gives. So remember, to get 50% off of your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code OutlanderCast50. All right, Marvin, what do you got for your number two?
Oh, you switched it on.
I did. I switched it because you did it to me, so now I'm doing it to you.
The return of Murta Fitzgibbons.
Oh, yes. Love it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you guys know I am such a fan of Murta. I am so thankful that the show has decided to keep him on the cast, to keep Duncan Lacroix with us. We all love him. I know it's changed things in the storyline. I know that next season it's going to get even more interesting because, of course, how things left us with the season finale. However, that moment of realizing each other, once again, Sam Heughan. Knocked it out of the park. But like, this is the closest that Sam really had to a brother or a father figure for the older part of his life. You know, he lost his brother and his dad at relatively young ages.
Sure.
So to be able to have this person who's been able to see him really through manhood and also knows Jamie and Claire's secret. Like, this is the one person, until Brianna shows up, who knows their secret, who he can talk freely with, and he thought he lost him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like seeing a ghost. I mean, just so beautiful. And of course, I know that this kind of shouldn't be ahead of Brianna, but I gotta be honest with you, it is. It is for me.
All right, my number two, and this is a very simple one, and it's something small. But I find it again, and I keep going back to what's important to the character, what's important to the person that you're seeing being portrayed, and how it affects their character overall. And I feel like one of the most important things that happens in season four is obviously Jamie getting to meet Brianna, mm-hmm. getting to take care of her, go on the bee hunt, do the whole thing. But right before the bee hunt, he goes to get her, and she's sleeping. And he sees her smiling in her
sleep.
Oh
my gosh, yes.
And it's so special because, yes, listen, in real life, as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, as a dad, you know, my daughter is very special to me. Mm-hmm. And seeing her do things when, like, she's not looking and she doesn't know that I'm there. And just watching her interact is so cool.
Yes.
And of course, my daughter's only, 4 years old, so whatever. But it's even more special because it's something that was referenced back in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire mentions that, Brianna smiles in her sleep. And
yep.
I always find it so special when a show can start referencing itself. That's when you know you've created your own world.
Mm-hmm.
And you've put enough characterization into these characters and into the story that you're telling, that when you start referencing your own
yes.
mythology and you start referencing your own references, that's when you know you've got a real textured world.
And I will tell you that that world is so well textured, as you even got to see by reading Outlander, and as you continue to read the books, Blake, you will see that. That because there's so much flexibility, because Diana Gabaldon gets to write her own universe, she does flesh that out. Mm-hmm. But on screen, with the limited amount of time that we have, they're not able to bring all of those moments in. Mm-hmm. And you're right, being able to have that was so special, was so, so special.
All right, so before we get into number one, this is what I want to do. I'm going to throw this at you. I know you haven't prepared, but I'm throwing it.
Okay.
And you're just going to have to deal. Okay.
Right.
So I will start. What I want to do is I want to do the honorable mention, mm-hmm. the one that could have made it but didn't, and then I also want to do the one where it's like not your best moment, Jamie. Not your best moment.
Okay.
So, having said that, I will start to give you some time to take a look.
Okay.
My honorable mention is when he goes to fight the bear man. You can debate whatever you'd like to debate about the idea of the bear man and how it was executed. I still find that it was a viable alternative to an actual bear or a CGI bear because, you know, the CGI bear just wouldn't have worked.
No.
And the fight was great, and it was shot frenetically, whatever. But I find that the most important part of it, though, is when Jamie kills the bear man and takes the body, brings it back, and lays it at the doorstep of the American Indians. And he's saying, here's the guy. I know, you know, this is the deal here. And he sets his family up. He tries his best to respect their culture, respect their wants and their needs, but also take care of his family and set his family up in the best light possible with his surroundings. Again, something that I think that James Fraser is really good at, unless it comes to Roger. Because, again, yeah, that'll be my running joke for the rest of this, for the rest of Droughtlander, I think. But yeah, I find that was one of the better parts. For me, the not so great moment, the one eye roll moment for Jamie of season four of Outlander. I think there are a couple, but the one that really stands out to me most is telling Brianna that he was sorry that he did what he did. He screwed things up, and he tells her, don't go kill Stephen Bonnet. It's not worth it. Nothing good comes of it. You're not going to get better. It's not going to make you feel better. And then, despite the fact that he got in trouble because he didn't communicate and he didn't talk to her and he didn't talk to Claire, he goes and tells Ian, or he goes and tells Murtaugh, go get him, bring him back so I can kill him. It just feels so stupid. It feels so stupid.
Tell us how you really feel.
I hated that moment. I felt like it was such a betrayal of that character. I think it's okay to make mistakes, especially for Jamie. Absolutely 100% okay. And I take Jamie at his word. Mm-hmm. I take him because that's the kind of character that they've built. But for him to turn around and tell Murtaugh to do that and say, I'm going to kill him regardless, I just find that so... not something Jamie would do. That's just my opinion. How about you? What do you got for your honorable mention? Okay. And then your eye roll moment?
My honorable mention was hashtag bye, Ian.
Okay.
Jamie saying goodbye.
Oh,
to
okay.
Ian.
Okay. All right.
That, gosh, I mean, the moment that he had with Ian back in the graveyard, that was beautiful and that was amazing. But the way that he said goodbye with that single tear that Sam Heumann can pull off so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of us. There wasn't a dry eye watching the finale when Jamie said goodbye to his nephew, who has been pretty much like his child. I mean, mm-hmm. he hasn't been able to help Bree or Willie grow up, and he hasn't been able to take care of them. And think about it. He has now gone across the ocean, saved Ian from Galus Duncan.
Yeah.
Okay. then gone on a broken ship. Now in the new colonies, Ian has pretty much been by his side, helped him build Fraser's Ridge, and now he has to say goodbye to him because he's sacrificing himself because Jamie beat up some guy.
Right. You know, now that I look, I kind of want to change my honorable mention. I kind of want to do it. Because, and not for what you just said, but okay. for something that you actually did just bring up, which is that moment between Jamie and Ian mm-hmm. at the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about
right.
the sexual assault
yep.
and how he's helping him. You know, we talked with Diana, you know, shameless plug, go back and listen to our conversation with Diana Gabaldone. Two of them, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. And she mentions how she fought to keep that in the script mm-hmm. for the premiere and how that would eventually affect all of the things that happened between Ian and Jamie. And thank God that she fought to keep that in there, because if they didn't...
Oh my gosh.
That whole character of Ian would have been wasted.
Yes, I agree.
And luckily there was that one moment where we could share that and actually have some real texture between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, Ian would have just been there. And he would have been like chopping wood. And that would have been it. And there would have been no emotionality to the idea of when he actually leaves. And we finally do have the ultimate by Ian moment when everybody gets emotional. We wouldn't, the emotional math for the season would mm-hmm. not have added up.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
All right. So that does it for the honorable mention
and then
times two.
You don't have my bad yet.
Oh, I don't have your bad?
No, that was just my honorable mention.
Oh, holy smoke. Sorry. All right. Go with your bad.
You know, I don't even, okay. I can say this because we've seen a picture of season 5.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going. Okay, go ahead.
I just need to say it, guys. My bad. Jamie's bangs.
Not good. Not great, Bob.
Not great, and I'm glad they're gone. Just have to get that off my chest. Just have to get that off my chest. Short and sweet. Just James Fraser.
Not so good.
Shouldn't have had bangs.
All right, your number one moment. What do you got, Marvin?
The anniversary gift and speech.
Elaborate. Can you amplify for me?
So, you know, I mean, Jamie and Claire, they're now beginning this journey in the new world. It's amazing. And everyone's happy because Stephen Bonnet hasn't come. And hide your kids, hide your wife. Gonna cut some throats and steal your ring. Jamie is there. And as much as I loved the new ring that he gave Claire during tubby time, the reaction of Claire and also the pride that Jamie has when he gives her the medicine kit.
Uh-huh.
You know, talking about how they've been married for 24 years. He asks her, like, have you ever regretted this? Like, being married to me? I hope that you're proud being married to me. And she's like, I've never regretted it one day. I mean, you think about what this couple has gone through, not only together, but then their time apart. And you think about all the times that they didn't get to spend their anniversary together. And for them to now be starting this new journey together, it was just such a beautiful moment. A great way to really kick off the season, to hashtag give you all the feels. But also, James Fraser... way to get a dang good gift.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You put some thought into
it. Like, not just some thought, but like pretty much the best gift ever. Like, Claire's reaction to this medicine box is so, in my opinion, is bigger than her getting the new ring. And the new ring's fabulous and gorgeous and amazing and so meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
But when she sees that medicine kit, oh, and the microscope, Claire pees a little bit. That's my favorite moment by James Fraser. Best gift giver ever.
Oh my God.
Because remember, like, think about it too. Like, all the times that he says, like, oh, I wish I could give you all the jewels in the world and everything. Claire just wants a dang microscope, man.
Such a dork.
I mean, Diana Gabaldon has said if she traveled through time, like, what she would want is a microscope. And I just feel like Diana wrote her joy and enthusiasm that
yes.
she would have gotten over this gift into Claire, and it came through.
Absolutely. All right, my number one. Because I avoided the whole Bree meeting Jamie and that whole situation. Again, I felt like that was the game genie of answers.
Mm-hmm.
I went with an answer that I feel like is very, again, very important to Jamie, but also a very important moment to his daughter, which is when he's helping her realize that she couldn't do anything when Stephen Bonnet raped her. Just she couldn't have done anything.
Yes.
And it's not her fault, right? Because I feel like there's no way that you, as a parent, as a man, you can explain to a woman it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just kind of showing. And you could see the pain in his eyes. You could see the pain in his movements. And the way he's needling her. And eventually just gets her and says, I could just snap your neck and that'd be it. So don't worry about it. You couldn't have done anything. Mm-hmm. Because if I can do this to you, Stephen Bonnet could have done worse.
Yeah.
And that emotion, again, the emotional math adds up for both Jamie and Bree. And it makes sense. And I know it was kind of a hard, it was a hard thing to watch. I think it was a hard thing for people to accept that Jamie would do that to his daughter. And I don't know if that was in the books, and I really don't care.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's the one thing he had under his control at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And helping his daughter was the first and foremost thing on his mind, because he could see that she herself was in pain. And that's what's most important. As a dad, mm-hmm. taking care of your daughter, taking care of your wife, making sure that they're in the best place possible. And that moment, to me, is Jamie's best moment with Brianna the whole season.
I think also, you know, it's how Jamie would have learned it best and accepted it best.
Sure.
And seeing as how Brianna is his child, he thinks maybe the philosophy and the way that I would have learned this and understood it better will work for my daughter.
Right. Well, that does it for... Oh, you know what? There we go. That does it for our number one.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's it, man.
That's the end of this episode. It's a quick... This is a quickie.
Well, we're going to be doing our Claire, and then our Murtaugh, and then our Lord John Grey.
Yeah, and if there's other people that you want us to do top five moments for...
Yes, please.
We are happy
Roger.
To do so. We listen,
Ian.
To, it's going to be a long drought lander. I did the math. It looks like, as of right now, based on the shooting schedule mm-hmm. and how things are turning out...
Okay.
We're not going to get another Outlander season...
Oh my God, are you going to say... Okay, break until my heart. Just break it.
April 2020.
Okay.
At the earliest. April 2020.
Okay.
Which, that's a long way away.
Listen, I could have a baby.
You could. In the meantime.
I did last Outlander. Or the first Outlander.
Droughtlander.
That's what I mean.
Yes, I gotcha. The wedding baby.
There you go.
That's what it was.
It happened.
But yeah, we got some time here. So... We got plenty of time to fill. We can go over every character. We could do, I don't know, Pippin's most top five favorite moments if you want.
Poor Pippin. Jocasta. I would like to do
sure,
Jocasta.
Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking we should actually do some deep dive studies on those characters.
I'd be down.
You know, particularly Stephen Bonnet. I feel like that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe compare and contrast Stephen Bonnet to Black Jack Randall.
Perfect.
That whole thing. I think we got some stuff up our sleeve, and maybe we'll get some interviews in there in the meantime as well. But if you guys do have any recommendations on what you would like us to talk about, we are more than happy mm-hmm. to talk about them. As for now, Marvin, 33 minutes into this bad boy.
Yeah.
Are you ready to close it out?
I am.
All right, let's do it.
A huge thanks to the staff of OutlanderCast.com. In case you guys haven't been checking in, we're keeping things rolling in the OutlanderCast clan on Facebook and OutlanderCast.com, whether it's podcasts or blog posts coming at you, keeping you company during this Droughtlander. We also want to thank our patrons for really making this possible, especially during Droughtlander. You guys keep this train, the website, the podcast going, and we truly, truly appreciate it. We do also want to let you know that after Game of Thrones ends, we will be doing our patron special. You need to be the clansman level or above at OutlanderCastClan.com podcast all about Hamilton.
Oh, yes, that's right. I was wondering where you're going with this.
It was requested by the patrons, and if it's something that you would like, it will only be available at OutlanderCastClan.com for those who are the clansman level or above, so you're going to want to make sure you sign up for that so you don't miss it, and that will be happening after Game of Thrones season ends, as Blake and I are keeping ourselves a little bit busy doing a Game of Thrones podcast. But we do want to thank our most generous patrons, Angie, Carolyn, Celine, Dawn, Diane, Heather, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Larissa, Lauren, Linda, Marilyn, Mary, Michelle, Patricia, Siobhan, Summer, and Valerie, as well as our co-producers, Barbara, Carolyn, Christina, Dana, Dieta, Janet, Kathy, Keelan, Lisa, Liz, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Rita, Sharon, Sue, Tara, and Tina, and our executive producers. And what's super special about the executive producers is that during Droughtlander, you are going to be able to have the opportunity as an executive producer to come on the show. Mm-hmm. Anne, Bobby, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, Peg, Sarah, and Shannon, you might hear their voices. You might hear their dialogue. Maybe they'll get to talk about some of their favorite moments as well.
Maybe so. And also, if you'd like to hear Mary and I talk about our favorite moments from other shows that you can't, that you like, that I know you all like, you can. We do have other podcasts. One called This Is Us 2 about This Is Us on NBC, one that actually just wrapped for season mm-hmm. 3. And like Mary said, we are doing one for Game of Thrones, the final season. It's called The North Remembers. And if you can't remember all those names, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just go to maryandblake.com where you can find all of our podcasts and all the blogs, including Mary's brand new podcast too, called Minute with Mary, all about marketing and business, and she's getting all professional on us.
Speaking of being professional, if you're still listening at this point, it means that maybe you like us. And there's not a lot of ways that you can help support podcasts aside from Patreon, maybe writing an iTunes review, and I'm going to get to that. But there's a really big thing that Blake and I would love your help with. If you go to RIMonthly.com, meaning RhodeIslandMonthly.com, in the month of April, so only for a couple of more days, you can vote for our Rhode Island-based podcast to win Best of Rhode Island. And you might be like, well, but I don't listen to it. Just know that as a podcaster, this is the way you can help us as podcasters feel like we do a good job, because there aren't really a lot of like podcast awards out there. So you go to rimonthly.com, click on the statewide category and scroll down, or you can just search for the word podcast. It's going to be down, I'm serious, like halfway through. And if you search the word podcast, you will find Rhode Island Podcast. Write in the word Wicked Roadie. Don't write in Outlander Cast. They're going to be like, what's this? Wicked Roadie. Okay? Seriously, guys, this would be a huge, huge help. Speaking of iTunes reviews, we want to thank Audra E., who said, I have found my people.
Hi-yo!
After each Outlander episode, I couldn't wait to talk to Mary and Blake about it. Yes, I talk back to the podcast. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we disagree, and I always laugh out loud at least once. I feel as though I'm sitting around the kitchen table with friends, dishing and debating about the nuances of one of our favorite shared shows. Thank you so much, Audra, and thank you to everyone else who's taken the time to write a review. All right. On that note, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Outlander Cast.